ready to have our last class. I always forget that we have a Wednesday night between when we're going to start our new class period, and I always forget that. So we've got some extra books in the back if you want to grab a book so you can have a copy to look at for the lesson if you're visiting with us this morning. We're on the last lesson on page 97, lesson 13, Indifference. Okay, we're going to start out with getting Brother Hatman to lead us in a prayer before we start class.
Let's pray. Dear Lord in heaven, we come before you this morning humbly, asking you to guide our minds during this class as we study the topic of overcoming sin. We pray that as we study these sins that we're trying to overcome, if we come across any traits that may be in our lives that shouldn't be there, Father, help us to overcome those. Help us to do better in the future than we may have in the past. And help us not to be afraid to make application. Help us not to be afraid of change if change needs to be applied. Dear Father, we pray that you would help us to rid our minds of any worldly thoughts, Father. Help us to gather our thoughts around you. We thank you for sending your Son, Christ Jesus, and the willing sacrifice he gave for our sins. We are unworthy of that sacrifice, Father. We are ever thankful for it. Pray that you would forgive us when we fall short. Help us to rid our lives of any sin that may still be there. We pray to your Lord that you would be with this church, be with the leadership, be with any potential leadership we're going to have in the future, Father. Help them to center their minds around your word, Father, and to let you guide them in the way of truth so that they can lead this congregation in the way of truth. We pray that you will be with us throughout this day. Please keep us safe. Please keep us healthy. Pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, sir. Again, we're, like I say, if you're visiting and you need a book, just raise your hand and we'll get somebody to get you a copy of the lesson for you to be able to look at that with us this morning as we go through it. I want to start out this morning by just kind of getting a little bit of a feedback. Can't spend a lot of time on this because we're going to cover all this, but you know, just in the lessons that we covered, the nature of sin, overcoming sin and how necessary it is, the lust of the flesh, pride, anger, worry, covetousness, hypocrisy, gossip, fear, prejudice, being unforgiving, and then today's lesson. Anybody in particular want to share what stuck out to them during the course of all this study that really hit home that you felt like you needed to give some attention to? And you'd be willing to admit it to everybody? All of it. Naomi said all of it. And you know, I think that's probably a pretty good answer because I think all of these aspects of what can be a problem for us, we don't really give it a lot of thought as a sin. Gary often talked about, wow, I got this lesson and it was like, I really needed this lesson. Well, I felt that way about all of these lessons. And there's, I guess the one that really sticks out to me, or two though, are just, and I kind of think they go together, and that's lust and pride. And when we talked about lust, we talked about it not just being the lust of the flesh, and it's the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, and all of these things potentially lay dormant within us. And we've got to decide whether we're going to let them be a part of who we are or we're going to not. And so, you know, that would be my challenge to all of us as we move forward from this class. And hopefully everybody keeps these books. I mean, you can always go back and refer back to the notes that you've made and look back at them. And if you think something's becoming a problem for you, be thinking about it, praying about it. Talk to somebody if you need help. And I really appreciate everybody's participation. Again, like Gary said, you know, when you're teaching an auditorium class, you want folks actively engaged in class. And in order to be actively engaged in class, you need to prepare for class. Because if you don't prepare for class, you don't get all that you can out of what's being discussed and what you're studying. So, you know, hopefully we're all making that effort. Whatever class we're going to, we're getting ready to change classes again. And we'll announce again this morning what the classes are going to be. Pick a class that you really want to dig into and a class that you think you could really benefit from in your spiritual development, and then really dig in and get all that you can out of what that class has to offer, and show support to the teacher. Because that's the other thing that the teacher gets, is the support from the class. When you really dig in, you can contribute. It really makes the teacher feel good about what you've done to help prepare for that. So, indifference. What is indifference? What we've really learned in the study, what were some of the most powerful topics and why? These are some questions I want you to ask yourself. What are we doing to try and combat these problems in our lives that we just talked about? And how will we take what we've studied and be a better example and also better ready to serve the church here at West End and the cause of Christ? And then specific things that you're going to do different. You know, those are some of the challenges that I would give you about all the things we've talked about. When we recognize something's a problem, then there has to be a behavioral change, you know, kind of as Jason was talking about in his prayer. You know, when we recognize there's something that needs to be different, then we've got to change. We've got to change our actions for that to occur. Otherwise, we'll stay in the same old pattern, and that's not what we want to do. So today is indifference. Whatever. This morning, when I send him the PowerPoint to make sure that he gets it so he can load it and have it on the computer, and I said, I always consistently, every time, say, please let me know you got this. And then I said, or don't. Little indifference joke, ha ha. So then I didn't get a reply from him this morning. So I'm thinking, well, did he get it or did he not get it? He says a little bit crazy. So, you know, I used to be a Boy Scout, so I had my thumb drive in my pocket with my presentation on there ready to go this morning just in case. Or I thought he might be messing with me. Indifference. I like this. I found this. Indifference is the strongest force in the universe. It makes everything it touches meaningless. Love and hate don't stand a chance against indifference. Wow. How powerful is that? And have you really ever thought of indifference as a sin before? I mean, is indifference actually spelled out in the Bible as indifference? No. What's another word that's kind of akin to indifference? Apathy. Absolutely. Apathy. Why would apathy or indifference be a problem in the church? Come on. You don't care one way or the other, what happens, doesn't make any difference. You won't grow. Lukewarm. Revelation 3, verse 15. The work won't get done. So why is it so important for us as members of the church at West End in Bowling Green, Kentucky, to not let indifference characterize who we are? Why is it so important? It will absolutely kill the church. Now, how do you think so many churches that are supposed to be churches of the Lord's church have gotten away from where they're supposed to be? It can be apathy. It could be indifference. It can be, you know, somebody's got to have an opinion that they're pushing there, right? And then, so if there's this opinion that's being pushed, and it's not what the Bible says, and then the members are apathetic or indifferent, then what happens? This becomes this, and then this becomes that, and then before you know it, you were here, and now you're here. So, indifference, apathy, for every one of us is really important. we need to be working at holding each other accountable for the truth. Right, Jack? He's got a comment on that. We've got to hold each other accountable for the truth.
I like the thing here, you know, we think about everything that we're doing is supposed to be pleasing to God. And yet, like you mentioned, as Revelation 3:15, apathy is disgusting, you know, to God. We don't want to discuss God. And I think that's, you know, another word. There's some things I think we could say we sin and we make God angry. But when we think about disgusting, he wants to spew us out of his mouth. Is that you're not with him or, you know, not for him or against him. You're just in the middle there. Who could care less?
Right. And right over here, Travis got something too. We won't get through this lesson. I'll just tell you that right now.
I was trying to think of what Curtis always quotes from C.S. Lewis, so I just had to look it up. But C.S. Lewis said, "Christianity, if false, is of no importance, and if true, of infinite importance. The only thing it cannot be is moderately important." And that's the way we have to look at it. If you believe the gospel message, a indifferent attitude is completely illogical. You can't react that way if you truly believe it.
Yeah, so you led right in. Nice lead in. Thank you. So I got another one over here. Attitude. And I'll get into that in just a minute.
I was thinking of 1 Corinthians 5. Sin was happening right in the church, and the folks were just making light of it. They wasn't doing anything about it at all. So that cannot happen in a congregation. That will kill a congregation.
Yeah, so we all have responsibility and accountability. So, what, you know, when I think about attitude and I think about apathy and I think about indifference with regard to the church, and like you were saying, 1 Corinthians 5, it's happening in the church, nobody does anything about it. How is apathy or indifference reflected in our attitude? How can it be manifested in the things we do or we don't do? Sam down here. How can it be manifested? How can it be seen in the church here? Sam?
We'll look at Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. Our apathy leads us to, well, I can skip Sunday night because I was there Sunday morning. Well, I can skip Wednesday night, but I'll be there Sunday for the communion. To, well, I guess I'll go because if I don't go for 2 or 3 times, I'm going to get a call. And that means I need to go and just refresh my presence here. And so it starts small, grows up, until if you let it go unchecked, you have people don't even come on Sunday mornings.
Right.
And it's difficult on a personal part. It's difficult. I can say something up front going, I wish you were here later, or point out a lot of people are missing. But do we go after the individuals and say, hey, I didn't see you Wednesday night. Are you okay?
Or right.
Flat out, how's your faith?
Right. So, attendance. Jason?
I have a relative that studied the Bible. They were, you know, they obeyed the gospel and everything, and then they continued their study for quite a while. And then there was one particular question that he could not get over. And so he studied and studied and studied, but he never could get over that question. Why would God allow ABC? That was his issue. And so he decided that if he can't get over that, there's no point in doing anything. You know, well, why bother if there's one thing that I can't get past? Now, let's bring that to my life. Let's say I'm struggling with a particular sin, and I can't seem to shake it. And so after a while, I decide, well, if I can't get over this sin, is there really a point in even going to church? Is there a point in even fellowshipping at all if I can't get over this sin? And that's the attitude that can creep into our minds. And at that, pride goes with that a lot as well, because we don't ask for help. A lot of times we're more concerned with what people are going to think about us if we admit our sin than we are about getting help with the sin. And so we just let it stir within us, and after a while we figure, what's the point?
Okay. So indifference can be, it's almost like you're looking for an excuse, looking for an out almost sometimes. I can't answer this question, so what's the point? Attendance. I've got another one over here. Brad.
Two things, Jim. One of the things that we can do is we can say, well, somebody else will do that.
There you go.
We have to realize that, you know, somebody prepared the Lord's Supper. Somebody baked a pie. Somebody fixed a meal. Somebody set up with somebody. Who did that? You know, we don't need to be the ones that say, well, somebody needs to take care of that. You know, when I hear that, I like to say, well, thank you for volunteering for that. You know, that's how we've got to be as Christians. The second thing is, when we're being apathetic and you look across the country at the church and the decline of it, we as church members have sat and said, everything will be okay. We've got elders, we've got deacons, and they've done a good job, and they'll be okay. Why is there any need for me to prepare myself? Because they'll always be there. I can just come and I can sit in the pew and they'll always be there. I don't have to worry about that. And then we wake up one day and you know what? They're gone. And what have we done about that?
Right. Thank you. So, individual responsibility that we all have with regard to the church and taking a stand for the truth and letting that be reflected in our lives every day in everything that we do and say, we just got to do that. That's who we're supposed to be. Yes, sir.
To build on Brad's point, anyone who has done, and there's several guys here who have done preaching in some of these local rural congregations, and so many of them lack elders. Because at some point, someone gave up on individual growth, or they didn't put enough emphasis on it. And so the older elders died out, moved on, and there's no one there to take their place. Now we've got no elders, so we've got no deacons. We've got no one who's willing to teach a Bible lesson, et cetera, et cetera. And we see some of these churches, and it's, I hate to say this word, it sounds very critical, but it's pathetic that no one picked it up. No one decided that it was worth fighting for, that I'm going to make myself grow individually so this church doesn't die, so the gospel still spread in this area, just forsaking their responsibilities to the Lord, really, because they didn't focus on growing themselves to meet a need.
And you know, some things are easier for some folks than they are for others. But there's plenty that every one of us can do in the Lord's work. I've got everybody going this morning. That's a great topic.
It's not going to be easy.
Yeah.
There's nothing to ever say it's going to be easy, and it's not going to be. And we got to accept that and move on.
Well, and what we all got to come to the realization of is that this life is not forever. This life is not forever. Every one of us is going to draw our last breath at some point. And for that reason, and for the love that Christ had for us, we got to do the very best we can to show Him that we love Him and let that be reflected in our lives. Because I don't know when my last day is going to be. Do any of us? No. So from right now to whenever that happens, I've got to do the best I can every day. And that's what every one of us have the responsibility to do if we are not apathetic, if we are not indifferent, if we really believe, Kevin, what God did for us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and we want to let our lives reflect that. You know, that's what it's about. A bad attitude is like a flat tire. You can't get very far until you change it. I like that. That's pretty good. And indifference and apathy has a lot to do with our attitude. And I'm busy and I got this going on. I got that going on. I don't have time to do this. And I don't have time to do... There's no way I could teach a class. What Brad said. There's no way I could get up and lead a singing. There's no way I could do that. Well, there's always something everybody can do to try and help. Okay. Attitude. And really, if indifference is part of who I am, it basically is revealing my true heart. It's saying what really is or isn't important to me. And if we've got apathy, it's a lack of commitment. It's a lack of commitment to something that we say is important, but is it really? If diligence is 100% commitment, indifference is just making an appearance. If diligence is 100% commitment, indifference is just making an appearance. Has there ever been a time where you've walked through the door where you worshiped and all you were doing was making an appearance? I have. Because I knew I was expected to be there, like Sam was talking about. And unprepared, my mind somewhere else. And at that point, what have I done? Not much. I've just showed up. So we've got to be committed to what was done for us. Jesus told the Laodiceans in Revelation 3:14 through 16, because they weren't hot or cold, made them sick to his stomach. What about us, and what do our lives reflect? Okay, here's the definition. I think we defined it pretty good. Having or showing no partiality, bias, or preference, neutral. Having or showing no interest, concern, or feeling, uninterested, apathetic, or unmoved. Indifference is a lack of concern, interest, or feeling, apathy. Somebody else will do it. I don't have time. I don't have the ability. We got to change that attitude, and we got to get involved. So what's indifference for a Christian? Somebody that just doesn't care about their relationship with Christ. Would y'all agree with that? Someone that doesn't take any responsibility regarding their stand for the truth and example to others. How many times have we been in situations before where people are making a joke or whatever? We can either walk away or we can stand for what we believe to be the truth. Or we can just kind of let it slide. Someone that is more focused on things of the world than their spiritual health. This and that, and I got to have this, and I got to do that, and this is important, that's important, but I'll fit church in if I can. I'll fit my relationship with God in if I can. Someone who does not try to develop the character of Christ. And we talk about so many scriptures in God's Word that talk about the character that we're supposed to try and have in our lives. But that's what we've got to work toward. What's wrong with indifference? Disinterest, coldness, apathy, detachment, or unconcern. God calls upon all of us to make a decision to choose to serve Him. And we've got to decide. Matt?
Could you go back to the slide with those definitions, please?
This one?
Yeah.
That's Webster.
It's interesting to me, the first one says having or showing no partiality, because I think sometimes, you know, especially with those that we're close to, sometimes it's easier for us to be indifferent with them. You know, it's easy for us to say, oh, that's just, you know, John being John, or don't, you know, take what Jane said personally. She just, you know, does that. Because for us to be anything other than indifferent, it would cause us to have to be in an uncomfortable situation and address, you know, either their attitude or their actions, instead of just, you know, writing it off and being indifferent about it. But I mean, I understand what it's saying. You know, you don't really have an opinion, but I think in some ways, and I guess indifferent can be showing partiality or whatnot.
Good point. Sister Runner back here.
Well,
great topic. Go ahead, sorry.
I just don't think as a Christian that indifference can be in there, because if you're acting indifferent, you know, if you're not for Him, you're against Him. So if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're actually working against it. So there is no, you know, there's no apathy or indifference. You've made your statement.
Right. And you know what comes through with that is hypocrisy. Because we say we're one thing, and then somebody sees something else. So, you know, it's probably, you know, it's, it really ties the rest of all of this together, if you think about it, because everything we've talked about with regard to what we've got to try and change about who we are, if we understand the need for that and we try and do it, then that says, I understand I need to change. But indifference is working against the cause of Christ. It absolutely is. Lukewarm people think about life on earth much more often than eternity in heaven. This is a quote that somebody said. And again, one to stop and consider and think about. You know, are we going to be lukewarm? Are we going to be indifferent? Are we going to be apathetic in the way that we live our lives? And that scripture has come up several times. That refers to that scripture in the book also. It basically discussed God as Jack was talking about. It discourages faithful brethren. Proverbs 10:26, how does apathy from other brethren make you feel regarding your commitment? Poor attendance, lack of preparation for Bible class, lack of interest in get-togethers, lack of concern for those needing prayers or help, and more interested in things of this world. Now, don't raise your hands, but has there been any time ever in your life where any of those things that we've just described have been where you've been? And if they have been, you know, hopefully we understand the importance of that can't be a part of who we are and us be pleasing in the sight of God, because it is working against Him. And when people see us out in the community, what do they see? Do they see somebody that has something that they would like to have in their lives? Because that's what they're supposed to see. That's what's supposed to be characterized in our lives and how we live and how we treat other people and deal with the world around us. That's a great point, you know. And again, I know I've been guilty of this. It's easy with those of you that have small children, when you get in the car after you, well, just in life in general, you know, through the week, whatever, at home, whatever it might be, but in particular in the church, you know, if you're getting in the car and you're leaving and something didn't suit you about church and you and your wife are talking about it, jawing about it, Brad, I see you smiling back there, you're jawing about it on the way home, well, guess what? Radar. They're hearing every word you say. And what kind of influence are you having on them? And just in general, what kind of influence are we having on them? If they never see us doing anything or praying, then do they understand prayer to be important in our lives? So it is a big issue and important with regard to influence. God's house is abandoned in some of the consequences of an indifference. And Haggai, they were more interested in their own homes being rebuilt than they were interested in the house of God being rebuilt. And they were reprimanded for that. Today, we cannot have indifference toward the church and the work. Teachers, preachers, deacons, elders, members, we've all got to be united in the truth to stand for the gospel of Christ and the Word of God. And again, it's everybody's responsibility, Jack down here. But I think that's Brad's point earlier, and some of you have said that too. We can't just think that, you know, it's these few people's responsibility and all I got to do is show up. That's not the way it works. Yes, sir.
I think it comes down to, you know, the point he's, you know, addressing here in that latter part of that. You know, saints need to be taught, exhorted, strengthened, rebuked, and corrected. And I think most people that are, that claim to be Christians and are indifferent are those that aren't present for those sessions. You know, they show up on Sunday morning for, you know, 1 hour and think that's going to get them through the whole rest of the week. They're not here for classes. They're not here for, you know, all of those things that, you know, that build a person up. And, you know, I put on here 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 is that all scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Mostly people that are indifferent and that are here for these classes, they're not aware of all these things, because you can't preach all of these things that are necessary, you know, from the pulpit. They need to be in classes just like this. And when we look at this, I was looking at, you know, George and I came in at the end of this session, and all of those things that were mentioned are, you know, they're not murder, they're not liars, they're not stealing, they're not doing all these other things, but these things are just as wrong as committing all of those things.
Yeah, sin is sin in the sight of God. It's not a 1 through 10, it's a flat line, and it's just, it's wrong. This has been really a good study for me, and I hope it has been for everybody else. I know Gary and I have talked and how much we've enjoyed it. But okay, so some of the consequences of indifference. Indifference toward truth causes churches to be weak due to a lack of commitment from its members. You know, when we moved back to Bowling Green a year and a half ago, and we were just trying to decide where we were going to go, and we visited a few churches, and we visited a few good churches. But when we came here, it was because of the members and the way everybody received us. And there were some people that, you know, they really got after us, like Ryan Downey. I mean, he was working us. You know, come on, we need you. We want you to be a part of our congregation. That was encouraging to me. I didn't take that as bad at all. I took that as very positive. You know, the elders and just who those guys are and were, that was encouraging to us too. So every one of us plays a role. When we see a face in this building that we don't know, we need to be on them. We need to be talking to them. We need to show them that we have sincere interest in them and we care about them. And sometimes it's just, if we're afraid, you know, a little apathy or indifference might sneak in there if we don't make that effort. And we get so caught up in ourselves that we don't think about other people. So, you know, we need to do that. And everybody's got a part and can make a contribution. And this church will be strong because of all of us, not because just of a handful of people. And I've heard Brad and David and Johnny and Mark all say that, you know, as elders, it's a joy to serve this congregation because of the people that we are. Right, Brad? So that's what we gotta do. We gotta be what God wants us to be. Indifference causes churches to have leadership committed to standing. Indifference causes churches to not have leadership committed to standing for the truth and wanting to appeal to the masses instead of being strong and fully focused on truth instead of man's opinion. I talked about that a little bit earlier. And again, I think that's how so many churches get away from the truth. Indifference causes the needy to be neglected. And a number of verses there that we could refer to, but basically, people are always going to have needs. There's always going to be people that are going to have needs. West End's not indifferent to the needs of others, I don't think. And again, it seems like every time we've got somebody that has a need, this church really rallies to try and meet the needs of those individuals. And we need to continue to make that effort and do that work. Recent examples of always giving, offering prayers, committed to helping those that need help. The needs of widows, sick, whatever the need might be, we've got a responsibility. And it's not everybody else's job. It's a job that we all have to do together. Indifference may not wreck a man's life at any one turn, but it will destroy him with a kind of dry rot in the long run. From the inside out, you know, and I think that's the kind of thing that we need to think about. What's the consequences of indifference? You know, we're talking about that. We're going to lose our souls if we are indifferent. And there's several verses there, but I want to go to Philippians. Look at Philippians, the second chapter in verses 5 through 18. Philippians 2, 5 through 18. And again, we're talking about the character of Christ. We're talking about who we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to be. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal to God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him his name, which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus Christ every knee shall bow, of those in heaven, those on earth, and those under the earth, and that every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may become blameless, harmless, children of God without fault, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Do we shine as lights in the world? Do people see in us something that they don't see in other people? Is that part of who we are? Do we hold fast, in verse 16, do we hold fast the word of life so that we may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I've not run in vain or labored in vain? Yes, and if I'm being poured out as a drink offering on the sacrifice and service of your faith, I'm glad and rejoice with you all. For the same reason you also be glad and rejoice with me. We think about the life of Paul and the kind of life that he lived and the kind of service that he provided. How do we do? How do we do with regard to service? How do we do with regard to reflecting the light of Christ in our lives? How do we do in trying to be what God would have us to be? Indifference toward our work as Christians assures us destruction and damnation. That's what we can count on if we're not what God would have us to be. And what is our attitude toward service? You know, when it comes time for them to figure out who's going to teach classes, what's our attitude? I ask somebody else to do it. Oh, I can't do that. Oh, I don't have time to prepare to teach a class. Well, let's re-examine that last one. I don't have time to prepare to teach a class. What's that basically saying? Not putting first things first. I don't want to. Something else is more important. Is that right? Do we generally find time for the things that are important to us to get them done? Do we? We do. So we got to decide what's important. What is our attitude toward service? You know, do something. I've got a comment back here. Yes, ma'am.
When I think of the opposite of indifference, I think of diligence. And in 2 Peter 1, verse 10, be all the more diligent to confirm your calling and election. This is going back to we will lose our souls. Doing the reverse of that scripture, if you are not diligent, then you will not confirm your election and your calling. So to establish our salvation and to have that confidence, we have to be diligent. We can't be indifferent. And backing up to verse 8, having all those qualities that are listed earlier in the chapter.
In
chapter 1. If you are increasing in those qualities, they will keep you from being ineffective or unfruitful.
Good.
Again, we can't be indifferent and be fruitful.
No, that's great. And I like your parallel of diligence to indifference. Because diligence doesn't mean I'm going to do it halfway. Diligence means you're going to give it all you've got. And if all we're doing is showing up when the doors open up, we're lukewarm. Y'all agree with that? If all we're doing is showing up when the doors open up, we're not giving God what he expects from us. So, you know, we've got to be committed. I like this one. You have enemies? Good. That means you stood for something. Stood up for something sometime in your life. Winston Churchill. You know, as Christians, do we necessarily... Did Paul have enemies? He had a lot of enemies. You know, he got thrown in jail and he was glad about it. He's singing in prison because he's being put in jail for the cause of Christ. Do we suffer anything for the cause of Christ? Well, I can't work Sunday because I go to worship service. Well, I mean, I remember being in job interviews. Now, sometimes that happens. I know sometimes that's what you got to do, and I mean, that's something that everybody's got to figure out for themselves. I've been fortunate enough where I haven't been in jobs where I've had to miss many services as a result of my work. I've been very fortunate in that regard. But are we going to stand for the truth to the point that it makes somebody Ryan's got one down here, unhappy with us, or they may, you know, not have the greatest opinion or have an opinion that we wouldn't want them to have because we stand up for what's right. Yes, sir.
Unfortunately, an indifference, you know, person kind of overruns into every aspect of their life. You know, an indifference person will be lazy at work, you know, and then when he gets home, he'll be lazy at home. And then when he gets to church, he'll be lazy at church. It's not one area of focus for an indifferent person. It's, you know, it's obvious, you know, when a person is indifferent in their life. I mean, it shows. I met with a person yesterday at a funeral I went to, and he has been a sinner his whole life. And he was, you know, somebody had asked him, you know, what would you do if you won the big lotto that would just happen? He said, well, I'd just buy a Bud Light truck and just have all the beer I could drink. And somebody told him, said, wow. You know, that's just not the life that I would want to live. You know, I just wouldn't want to do that with my life. And it was because he was so indifferent, he didn't have anything to look forward to. But now, as when I met him yesterday at the funeral home, he has changed his life, and now he's, you know, going to church, and he's focused on becoming a better person. And this is a denominational person, so he said he's been called to preach the gospel. But at least he's making a change. And I said, David, it's harder for a person to be a sinner than it is to be a Christian, if you think about it, because you're running from something constantly, or you're always having to, you know, you're always broke because you're spending your money on stuff that you don't need. As a Christian, it's actually easier to live life than it is a sinner. And, you know, a light went off in his head. He's like, you know, my whole life I've spent everything I've ever made on drugs and alcohol. Or I've never been married, and I don't have anything to show for it. And, you know, being indifferent is actually harder than being a person that is diligent and striving to work and be better as a person.
Focused on, committed to something. You know, something that has meaning and value in our lives. And we're not going to have time to look at these scriptures. They're all in the book, so I hope that you've had an opportunity to look at them. But, you know, the way that we overcome indifference is love. You know, and if you think about John, 1 John 3, 17-18, love and deed and truth, that's through our actions, and so many verses talk about that. Zeal and what people see in our lives. Christ guiding our lives, giving of ourselves, praying for what people need from us. And then, you know, as we think about indifference, the opposite of love is not hatred but indifference. There's lots of thoughts out there, but in closing the class, you know, I thought I would focus on Matthew, the 22nd chapter, in verses 36 through 40. Teacher, what's the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus said to him, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. It's the first great commandment. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. And on these two commandments hang the law and the prophets. If we truly love God and love Christ for what he did for us, the sacrifice that was made that we could have a hope of eternal salvation, and we let that be reflected in our lives, in the way that we act and the things that we do for this church, and then also the things that we do for other people, then God's going to be pleased with us. And we've got to make that conscious decision every day. Every day. Because there's days you'll get up and, you know, something will have knocked you out of whack the day before. And you got to get up that day and start new and be ready and get out there and do the best that we can. Appreciate everybody's attention to class, and hope you pick a class that'll be good for you this next quarter.